Okay. Is it on? That side, sir? Okay. Okay. A very good afternoon to all, eh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the third day, eh? Of our retreat, 13 March 2017. The time is 4:30. So 4:30 to 5, we're supposed to have Q&A, followed by the review of meditation reporting to develop the proper understanding of the cultivation, the Dhamma, and the meditation as taught by the Buddha. You can ask any question regarding the meditation, the Dhamma, and real life application of the Dhamma, etc. Then we will have a very short closing puja. Okay. The mic is here. Huh? You can come forward if you got any meditation reporting or question related to meditation and the teaching and how to apply what you have learned here so that you know how to go about living life, understanding life. Anybody? Ah, yes, Bindi. Yeah, thank you. Push it up.
Brother Teo, yes. Actually, this is the experience before coming to the retreat.
It's okay, Ken? Yeah, you can report. Yeah.
So it was at night, I can't sleep. So the mind is running here and there, think of this and that. Yeah. So I remember to be aware of this.
Yeah.
And then very quickly, the mind become calm.
Yeah, settle down. Yeah.
Yes. And then this mind see the heedless mind.
Yeah, the heedless thinking. Yeah.
The heedless thinking is like a bit blurry, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then this calm mind suddenly become very quiet, very in deep silence.
Yeah, yeah.
And I found that these two minds is actually stem from the same.
Yeah.
And this mind realized this happening, but doesn't really understand. It's in deep silence.
Yeah.
Can Brother Teo explain?
Okay, good. So thank you so much for your question. So what you experience is the two state of mind. Understand? The other one is the true mind, the pure awareness that we talk about. Then you realize this condition arising mind, the heedless thinking mind, the mundane mind, is also there, understand? So she only know that they come from the same source. But actually, the two are separate entity. One is dependent originating, condition arising. And this heedless mind, most of the time, is just a thought. And what is thought? Thought is response to memory. That's why initially you say, cannot sleep, the thought keep on coming, disturbing. And you remember what I told you, don't fight, don't resist, don't do anything. Just observe them. Silence your mind, allow it to be. When you do that, you don't create hindrance. That's why the mind becomes like very quiet, very still. Then behind the background, this still mind saw that the mundane mind is there. But what it saw is very blur. It's because it's not strong anymore. But when the awareness takes over, that one cannot be active. So like very blur. So it's okay. Meditation is just to train yourself to have more moment of this type of awareness or mind. Then stabilize it. Then what I advise you remember before you come up, Wu Ping Ching Sunday, the class, you told me at the heart area, like something squeezing and all the same. Then what I advise you, relax into it, silent, and stay at the heart area. Stay at the heart area. Don't do anything. Silent. Completely. You have to stabilize that silence and relax. The key thing is relax the four support. relax, maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then whatever energy build up or what, you just continue to relax into it. Don't do anything. Don't try to know. The awareness will know. The awareness will be aware. Until even the mundane mind also quiet down. Still. No movement. Then continue to silent and just relax. If you can do that, not long, you will definitely detect the gateway. And when the gateway is detected, you will know. The form and mind will know. It's like a very soothing thing that went in. I explained to you before. You are a mother, you know. It's like something draw, sucking in. But very soothing. And it makes you so still. Still. And when that happens, you will progress very far. Well, this is what you vow. You determine to have. And it will come. So thank you so much for your question. Remember, relax, silent, don't do anything. Lie down. Then stay at the heart area. It is somewhere there. It will detect. It can only detect when you are completely silent, without thought. Otherwise, the gateway cannot be detected. The analogy I used to give is, let's say you have a wall, all painted white. Then there is a small pinhole somewhere. If nobody tell you where, you go and check every part. It's going to take you a hell of a long time. Yeah. But the moment you check with the thought, it cannot be detected. That's why it's very difficult to locate the gateway. The gateway can only be detected when the mind is completely silent, without thought. Because that one is the unconditioned. And that one is completely different. So for those who don't have the condition, no need to know. No need to know, because this is something will not happen until much later. So don't worry. When people talk about gateway and all those things, it's for those who have the condition and can understand. So when that thing happens, when your breathing becomes very subtle until no thought, no more breathing, your object of meditation becomes very quiet, very subtle, very still. Means the activity inside there, the mundane mind, the thinking mind, is already very, very quiet. It has slowed down. Then the mind can enter sati. Because as the thinking becomes less and less, the nature shines forth. There is clarity, there is awareness. That's why, like the whiteboard, remember? The whiteboard, pure whiteboard, is behind that plastic sheet. The moment that plastic sheet is gone, the plastic sheet is your mundane mind, your thought process. Your conditioned arising mind. That's why Sun Xiu didn't understand. He thought that is his mind. He said, that mind is like a mirror bright on a stand. Why he call it a mirror bright? Well, it keep on reflecting everything it perceive. Understand? That's like mirror bright. Understand? So he say you must be mindful. Polish until it shine. Means whenever you see any defilement, unwholesome thought or whatever, you have to abandon it, polish it off. Until this mind shine forth with clarity, fully aware. But he don't understand. When you are in that state of full awareness, without wisdom, that is not samasati. It is only samasati when you use it to cultivate noble eightfold path, to realize the right view. Then that wisdom can allow you to live like that. You don't have to maintain that pure state of awareness. Then you can just live. Because that nature is always there. You're fully aware. But even arahant, when they are enlightened, the mundane mind is still there. That's why in the Mahayana teaching, you realize, they talk about this, there is still outflow. Outflow. You know what is outflow? Leakages. So they, I think the Mandarin word, if I'm not wrong, they use low, leak. But actually it's not leak. their wisdom that they realize, which is already very, I should say, very powerful, where it can root out ignorance. They got no more ignorance. So when they die, the last thought moment, there is no ignorance, no avijja. That's why there is no rebirth consciousness. That's why arahant cease. But when they are alive, they will realize the parinibbana with residue. Residue means the five aggregate of form and mind still there. That's why they are called residue. And this one is the conditioned arising mind, the mundane mind. So not until this one collapses, your true nature cannot completely shine forth. And you cannot understand that thing unless you go the further way, the bodhisattva way. And for bodhisattva who cultivate intensely with sincerity, diligence, faith and understanding to fulfill the vow, they will reach a stage where this mundane mind will collapse. Then when they cultivate with this, the third stage of bodhi is the stage where it happens, where they connect back to the true mind, then the mundane mind collapse. Then through the cultivation, they will realize all this profound wisdom, that the form and mind is not them. The segmented life is chemically conditioned and all those things. Then after that, they can have the wisdom to cultivate without mark, according to Diamond Sutta. No mark of self-cultivating, walking this way. No mark of living being to be saved. No mark of even life, teaching, or Dhamma, and all those things. So this is how the fourth stage of bodhi will come. Then when they have this understanding, they will renounce samsara. Then they will just continue with the cultivation to perfect the flame perfection to be Sammasambuddha. That's how it is possible, it can be done. So these are the higher teaching. So at the moment, don't have to know. Most of you don't need to know, except those who have the condition. Then later on, because this year is the first time I lead the Bodhisattva vow at a retreat. So after it's done, because of causes and conditions, this way will become more and more prominent, more and more pronounced. Then when it takes off, a lot of beings who has the condition will benefit and transform. Then a lot will go this way. Because these are very, very difficult understanding, very rare teaching. So because of causes and conditions, it has a reason. So there are conditions to share. That's why I said you are not here by accident. But how much you can receive or benefit depend on how much faith you have, your past karmic affinity, your sincerity. That's why I said this window is very beautiful. Don't let it slip by. Yeah, it is going to be a long, long wait before you can have the condition to have this window again. Okay? Yeah. Thank you so much. Any more people who wants to report meditation? Nobody? Then we continue Heart Sutta. Okay. Turn to page 36. Page 36. Within the 37 factors of enlightenment, there are 7 main factors of enlightenment called Satta Bhujanga. So these are the main factors of enlightenment that the Buddha talked about or emphasized on when he was guiding the monks or training the bhikkhus. These 7 factors of enlightenment that the Buddha constantly mentioned is the Satta Bhujanga. Satta is 7. Bhujanga are factors of enlightenment. The first factor of enlightenment is sati, or mindfulness, which is the silent mind with inner awareness before the knowing. Before the knowing means before you perceive. before the aggregate of mind come to be. This is the first factor of enlightenment, sati. And it is also the five spiritual faculties. For sati is life, and without sati or mindfulness, there is no heedfulness, hence no life. Because the heedless are as if dead, so spiritually you are as if dead. Also without sati, there is no heedfulness, or the silent mind in pure awareness, to investigate the Dhamma, and to see the mental intention behind all your actions, speech and thought process. So Dhamma Vichaya, or Dhamma investigation, which is the second factor of enlightenment, you cannot do. Huh? Only with sati is there the ability to investigate the Dhamma with the silent mind. When the Dhamma stands up into investigation, the faith of Sadha in the Buddha and his teaching will be strengthened, thereby giving rise to virya. And virya is the third enlightenment factor. Virya is spiritual zeal or energy or tenacity to walk this way. So this third factor of enlightenment, virya, will drive you to meditate. Then as you meditate, you develop a very stable sati and samadhi. And because of that, piti will arise. Piti is the fourth enlightenment factor. Piti is spiritual joy, or spiritual calmness, or spiritual rapture. Then after that, you relax into it. Continue to let it settle down. It will transform. Then pasati, or tranquility of mind and stillness of mind, which is the fifth factor of enlightenment, will come to be. That's why you have to relax into it and make it stable, settle down. Then from that spiritual calmness, peacefulness, joy, it will become blissful, sukha. Sukha is not an enlightenment factor, don't get attached. Then after that you continue to silent, relax, then everything slow down until no movement, stillness. Tranquility of mind, silent mind, still mind. This is the meditative state, pasati. And with this, you can understand anything. Then as you continue to relax into it, stabilize the pasati, samadhi will develop. Samadhi is the collected and unwavering mind, and this is the sixth factor of enlightenment. It will arise once pasati and sati has stabilized. So when pasati and sati has stabilized, samadhi will be the result. And samadhi is the sixth factor of enlightenment. Then with sati and samadhi, it will see things as they are and awaken to the truth. That's how wisdom come to be. Then when wisdom come to be, samadhi become upeka. Samadhi supported by wisdom is the true upeka, not the one in condition state, energy field. So upeka, or equanimity of all mental formation born of wisdom, is the last of the seven factors of enlightenment. And it will arise once sati and samadhi have stabilized, to see things as they are, leading to the wisdom or panya, which is also the last of the fifth spiritual faculty. The karmically conditioned five aggregate of form and mind, or this segmented human being, which you all call Brahmatyo, is not me, but just a tool and a vehicle for this nature to come to this world, and for this nature to make use of, to live and experience life to the fullest, etc. This form and mind, or this physical body of mind, is similar to the functional body of Lord Buddha called Nimanakaya, that performs the function of the Buddha 2500 years ago. When he became enlightened under the Bodhi tree, his spiritual nature of perfection body called the Samugayakaya came back to him. He inherited it. And they combine to make him the Sammasambuddha via arising the third transformed body called Dhammakaya. that enables him to speak and proclaim the Dhamma. So after understanding all this, you should not cling on to this karmically conditioned 5 aggregates of form and mind so deludedly anymore. And the next time when you argue with your friend or your wife or your husband, you will understand that it's just one form and mind with its bundle of memories, conditioning, views and opinion, etc., arguing with another form of mind. So not so real and not what you think. So don't be deluded anymore. If you deludedly cling or grasp to the 5 aggregate of form and mind as the I and the me, then you will have what the Buddha called sakayaditi or self-delusion. Self-delusion or wrong view with regards to the self will condition your egoic mind and the personality or the ego to arise, leading to all the selfishness, possessiveness, to own, to cling, to grasp, and to possess things, thereby wanting things your way, etc., hence arising the whole mess of suffering, follow depending, dependent origination. The Buddha gave 5 very good analogy to clearly explain the empty nature of this 5 aggregate of form and mind. He said your physical body or form aggregate is like a foam. Appears so solid, but not so, because if you leave the foam for a while, it's gone after a while. And the feeling aggregate, it's just like a bubble, arise and pass away very fast. You know what is a foam or not? Yeah? Those ladies who wash clothes, they know. But now you use washing machine, that's why you don't know. Last time my mother used soap. So when he put a lot of soap, I saw the foam. A lot of foam. Yeah? Then, like very solid. You know, you go near, after a while the wind blow, all gone. Or you go and hold it, you cannot hold. It's gone. Those who play with soap bubble, oh no, huh? You put the ring, then you put soap water on it, then it come out all the soap bubble. Then the aggregate of perception is just like a mirage you see in the desert. Appears so real from far. But you will realize that it's just a mirage when you come near to it. Then the aggregate of sankhara or thinking or mental activity, it's like peeling a banana tree stem. Layer after layer you peel. Finally, at the core of it, it is empty, where there is nothing there. That is the reason why the Buddha says, sabbe sankhara anicchang, sabbe sankhara dukkang. Lastly, the Buddha said, your aggregates of vijnanam is just like a magician. A magician is also called an illusionist, who create illusion for you to see. Hence the reason why the Mahayana always said that the world of ours is an illusionary world, a world of consciousness, not what you think, not so real. So do wake up and do not be deluded anymore. Can you understand the analogy or not? That consciousness is like a magician. Can you understand? Huh? If you cannot, you better raise your hand and let me know. Then I will explain. Otherwise, I will assume you know. Anybody who don't know? You don't know. Huh? Oh, good. Okay. Do you know how you create or not? You are the greatest magician in the world. Sometimes magician, they also call you an illusionist. You create illusion for people to see. Illusion become like real. Now you open your eye. What happened? You created within the field of vision all this. Do you realize you are a great magician? All this that you can see through your seeing consciousness, the solid building, my form, all of the painting, all the lighting, and whatever that is within this hall, you will have the ability to perceive them. And this is creation. This is what the Buddha meant by illusion. And the moment you close your door, close your eye, what happened? What happened? The whole creation is gone. You understand? That's why the world of sight and sound, you can experience them. Then through your senses, you can experience the tactile consciousness, hot or cold, comfortable or whatever. Then you also have the other aspect, the taste, the smell, then the thought process. So all these are the mind's ability through consciousness to create. These are your six sense door consciousness. How do you know the world? Through your senses, through your consciousness. How do you interact with the world? Also through your senses, through your consciousness, through your brain, of course. So all this, when you meditate and you start to see, then you realize what the Buddha said is so true. You are the greatest magician in this world. That's why mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything that you come to perceive, the whole universe, the star system, the continent, the world, existence, life, become real, exist. They only exist because your mind carry, hold on to it, cling on to it. That's why the Mahayana say it's just a phenomenal world of consciousness. They are all created by mind, consciousness. Where mind sees, everything sees. Thank you. I got the tissue. Thanks, Raja. Don't worry about my this one. This one is off and on when the weather cold or whatever. And earlier on was because of the curry. So sometimes you have to understand how it comes about. Yeah, that one I saw you in Perth. You do a lot. That one will help. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. So you don't mind. This one is like dakwa, covered a bit. But if we can keep warm and make this go, it's worthwhile wearing it, isn't it? Where was I? World of consciousness, not so real. When you meditate, when you come to realize all this, then you will not be deceived by the phenomenal. Then you realize, like the Buddha said, our mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything comes to be. That's why you are the greatest magician. And when you know that these are condition arising phenomena based on consciousness, so the whole world, the whole universe, is actually a phenomenal world of consciousness. Nothing else. Then how real can it be? Then why do you cling? Why do you hold? Why do you feel so strongly that it's so real when there is separation, when there is condition for your thought to project and create so much fear in you? Why can't you see that these are all not what you think? I already explained the three period of time. Past is already gone, no more reality. Future yet to come, also not a reality. The only reality is present moment awareness. Moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? And as real as can be, there is the only reality. But it doesn't last. Split second is dead and gone. So when you understand that life is just within the moment, split second is dead and gone, that's the reason why Hasutta said everything is empty. Not real. Not what you think. How real can life be when within that moment, which is the only reality, is so unstable? Split second is dead and gone. That's why there is a Chinese song, 往事只能回味. How many of you know the song? You mean nobody know the song? I got a few, those Mandarin educated, they will know. That song is very meaningful. He said, 时光, 时光一去永不回. Correct or not? I sing correctly. 往事只能回味. It's so beautiful, you know, the Dhamma there. The first time I heard it, 30, 40 years ago, I liked that song like anything. Wow, Garrett was so clever. 时光, you know what is 时光? No? Huh? 时光, what is the meaning? In B word. Translate. Time, yes, 时光. 一去永不回. Means time wait for no man. Understand not? Like the tide. The English saying is time and tide wait for no man. Split second is gone. So 时光, that flash of that moment, once it's passed, it's gone. 一去永不回. Then 往事只能回味. So all this that happened before, you can only recall through memory, understand? So how real can life be? That's why you go and read the purple book, Emptiness, in the Klang Talk. I cover all these things very detailed there. So no point for me to repeat here. We don't have enough time to cover all these things. Yeah? So this is the meaning why the Buddha said, your aggregate of perception is like a mirage. Then your aggregate of sankhara is like the banana stem. You can go and think. Think and think and think and think. What happened? Finally, it's just a thought. Understand? How come the thought has power to make you so miserable through your thinking? That is really delusion, isn't it? You think until you are so depressed. You think until you are so full of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. What are you doing? You are not using your thought correctly. You think of the wrong thought. You are using that thought to cut yourself, harm yourself and make yourself miserable. That is the delusion. And you are really, really... The Mahayana used this very strong word. She said, it's stupidity. You are very stupid. Actually, when I reflect back, what they say is very true. Not harsh. You're really stupid. Why do you get yourself entangled until so... in Hokkien, so kao lat also you don't know. Understand? Means delusion can really break you, cause a lot of affliction to you. So Dhamma is like a cure, a remedy, like a medicine to heal you, to give you wisdom, to wake you up, to give you light, so that it can overcome ignorance, darkness. That's why we offer the light, the clear water. Clear water is to remind you of the cultivation of mindfulness leading to heedfulness, so that there is clarity for you to see things as they are, so that you have a clear mind. Then the light is to remind you to strive on your heedfulness, to develop this light of wisdom, to overcome darkness, so that you will not have to suffer anymore. They are all very meaningful. Then the incense is to remind you, if you don't cultivate, you will not have the true virtue. Because your virtue, like your wisdom, your virtue, they was like the fragrance of the incense. They were spread far and wide. And people can smell them, sense them. Because these are true incense that has the fragrance. So when you cultivate the true Buddha Dhamma, when you have the ability to have the understanding and wisdom, like the incense, the fragrance, it will also shine forth fine white, because it becomes part of your nature, part of that form and mind that manifests the quality, the noble quality of the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why people can see you, understand you. And when they feel very safe, when they are close to you or in front of you. And they like to listen to you because you are different. You are not the cunning, deceitful, violent type or deluded type or heedless type. So that's why they are able to have that sense of like security when we feel. And they feel you are not a threat to them. You are in fact helping them, benefiting them. So when you hand the Dhamma, you become different. You will change, transform. Character-wise, personality-wise. And those people who have the relationship with you, they can sense it. They know you are different. That's why it's like the incense, the fragrance. They will spread far and wide. And people can smell them. So this is a very good analogy. Then the flower remind you of impermanent. Then the fruit remind you of the coming fruition. The fruit you offer, when it ripens, is coming fruition. Then this offering is generosity. Then you rejoice. So all these puja items are very meaningful. Then you develop a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of merits. Then you can rejoice with this wholesomeness. So all these are the various practices and cultivation that Sakyamuni Buddha has taught us. And this is something that you have to bear in mind because it's very beautiful. So coming back to the five aggregate analogy, we have finished all. Recall. First aggregate, form. The analogy is what? Form, yes. So, appear solid? Not really. Feeling is what? Like a bubble. What is a bubble? Pop, gone. Pop, gone. So when you have mindfulness, you can feel. You can see. This so-called pain or numbness or sensation, it's just the moment-to-moment consciousness. No? When the consciousness is not there, that thing is not perceived. You can test it with your seeing consciousness, your eye. You draw a dot on a white piece of paper. Then you look at it. You keep on looking at it. Sometimes the dot disappears. You know why the dot disappears? You think the dot is not on the piece of paper. It's still on the piece of paper. Because your perception, your cognition, there is a time lag, understand? So certain moment, the seeing consciousness cannot catch that one. Because it cannot perceive. That's why you don't see that dot. So, feeling like a bubble come and go. Split second is gone. So if you have the understanding, you can just silent and endure. Because this is consciousness. Like I said, the consciousness, which is your mundane mind, trapped inside this physical body, you like it or not, whatever that happened to this physical body, you will feel it, you will sense it. So when you feel it and when you sense it, you got two choices. Be aware and endure. Silent. Finish. No more suffering. Nothing. Because you know this form is not you. Go the way of nature. Every day you contemplate. But if you don't have this wisdom, don't have this understanding, you will cling through self-delusion, thinking that this pain is you. This feeling is you. Then you worry that it will become worse. Your leg will paralyze. Then you cannot walk and all those things. So this thought projection will project and create fear. Sometimes intense fear, phobia and all those things. That's how suffering comes to be. Through delusion, you attach, you cling, you hold, you grasp. But when you understand them, then you realize the analogy is so beautiful. Just like a bubble, pop, gone. I tested it during my early years of cultivation. I want to understand pain. All this various sensation. Then I just feel. I endure. Yeah. Then I feel that when I'm mindfully enduring, there is no problem. But the only problem is when you are not doing it. And when you are not doing it, then that consciousness arise. Because of the wisdom, pass away again. Arise, pass away. If every moment also you arise that type of sensation, you think you can continuously be peaceful? It is going to haunt you, understand? That's why you will be at peace. You will not like react to it. But you know, urgent. Your pain is the body's way of signaling to you that something is not right. So what you need to do? Consult a doctor or get some treatment or medication. Then get it done up. Do what you have to do. No point complaining, lamenting, suffering. Because you have a choice. You don't have to suffer, like the Buddha said. That is the reality. That I got two choices. Endure, at peace, until wait until help come or solution. The other way is complain, react, and become miserable. Then the third one is what? Perception, analogy is what? Mirage, not real. Because you know what is perception, mental. It's an image. It's like a mirage. The image in your forehead. How real this image can be? Externally already dependent originating, condition arising like the block card, this table or this thing. Then how do you know there is a block card or a table? Where you perceive it through a mental image. That's why this image is like a mirage, not real. When you see the mirage in the desert, it's also an image up there. You think got a lake, a pool of water. You go near, it's a mirage. It's an illusion. Then sankhara, like the banana stem, get it understood. Think also like that, don't think also like that. That's why Brother Chia know. Yeah, everything is just sankhara. But that is a very important understanding, you know. When you understand that think also like that, don't think also like that, then what you do? You will not think, understand? Then cessation will come, nibbana will be realized. That is the condition. When you don't think, when you don't have any more delusion with regards to sankhara, like the Buddha said, sabbe sankhara anicchang. Then sabbe sankhara dukkhang, it brings about suffering. You still want to think. No point. Then sabbe dhamma anatta, everything is just empty, dependent originating, not real. So the mind just cease. That's how nibbana can be realized, cessation can be realized. Then the last one is what? Consciousness. We already gone through, greatest magician. So these five analogies, they are very, very powerful and very important. And I used to contemplate into it during the early days of my cultivation. And because of my contemplation, that's why I can share with you all this understanding. The Klang Talk, the transcript you go and read, is very comprehensive. I covered a lot of things on emptiness, including the existence, three periods of time, everything. Then whatever I share, all there. And a lot more, I think. Okay, we go on. Next one is be aware of the three karmic obstacles. And according to Master Xuan Hua, eradication is what the Heart Sutta is capable of doing. That is, do away with the three obstacles. These are karmic obstacles. So karmic obstacle, there are three. The first one is retribution obstacle. Then activity obstacle. And the last one is affliction obstacle. These are the classification given by Mahayana. What is retribution obstacle? There are two types. Primary retribution and dependent retribution. You know what is retribution? Like you have to pay back. Coming retribution. So primary one is it implies karmically conditioned, means the physical body, like the type of DNA coding, the physical appearances, etc. This one is primary. Your form and mind comes with it. That is the DNA you have. That is the physical body that you inherited. So this is primary retribution. Then dependent retribution implies karmically conditioned living condition or your materialistic inheritance. That is, whether you are born poor or born rich or where you are born into. You don't have a choice. It is dependent retribution. But who you marry to, you do have a choice. But sometimes very difficult. Karma, you must pay back. They come after you, life after life. Because they hate you so much when you did all those things to them. Then they vow, life after life, come back and take revenge, torment you. Then you love at first sight, see only you want to marry her. Then after that, wow, why did I make that choice? Then last time I used to make this joke. This one is a joke, it's not reality. They try to share this joke. You remember or not, Bill Gates, the wealthiest man in the world at one time. when he was in the university, he was really an apia, you know what is apia, like a biscuit, like a spectacle, and then not sociable and all those things. It's correct, IT nerd. So he was very good in IT, you know, but people cannot understand, you know. So he was very interested in one girl, you know, at that time. You know. But that girl, not interested in him at all, because he's still not the billionaire Bill Gates, you know. He is still a nerd, you know. Then, because of that, the mother married somebody else. Then this Bill Gates married another lady, Belinda, and became very wealthy. Then when this news spread, the girlfriend last time, Bill Gates was after her, he said, actually he was chasing me, you know, last time. If I had accepted him, I would have been that Belinda. That the son says, stupid fellow, because of my mother. Is it? He had married Bill Gates, I would have been the son to inherit all this. Got this type of people. You think if she has married Bill Gates, the son can be this guy or not? No way. So it's not what you think. Then also karmically, there is no condition. Belinda has the parami, you understand now? That's why they can get married, and he got beautiful children. And he himself, Bill Gates and Melinda, they are very, very generous. They set up this Belinda Foundation, or Bill Gates Foundation. They donated 90% of their wealth to do social work, to benefit the world. That's why every life they come, like Warren Buffett, they donate so much. Every life when they come again, because of that, they will receive. That's why they can be very wealthy. Then Ananda Krishna also, they say maybe Ananda Pindika during Buddha's time. That one also donated a lot. So now come in the form of Ananda Krishna, not Ananda Pindika, but the word Ananda. Then from Indian origin, no, you realize a lot. Yeah? I don't know. Cannot read mind. Cannot see. So this is what dependent retribution is. So these two, easy to understand. Then what is activity obstacle? Imply karmically conditioned livelihood obstacle. Like you have a lot of karmic obstacle while working and living your life. This is due to your activity. You create karma. Understand? Let's say in the past life, you're not cooperative. You're in the office. The Cantonese say Lan Si Lan Yong. LCLY. Then what happened? You do all those funny things. Then when this life you come, got condition, you go and work with a company, that's why all this come back to you. This is activity obstacle. Nobody want to cooperate with you. Everybody don't like you. So this is what you did when you go through life and perform your career or activity. It's just like you harass people. You put fear into people. Future life you come, you become victim. You have a boss that harass you, put fear in you, and create all this misery for you. So this is activity obstacle. And then affliction obstacle. This one, very interesting. Affliction obstacle imply karmically conditioned affliction caused by your own heedlessness in life. This one you dare to commit, then continue to be heedless. Then a lot of this will come to you. That is, whenever you act, speak, and think with an evil mind that has the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then affliction or suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follows the hoof of the cart. Then Dhammapada's worst one will take its course. If you want to be happy, then be heedful to train your mind to act, speak, and think without the evil roots, means with a pure mind, wholesome mind. Then happiness will follow you, like your shadow that never leaves you. Dhammapada verse 2 will then take its course. So your life, you decide. Don't blame anybody for your affliction. For according to the Buddha, we are, read together, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So you cannot blame God. Why God like that? Why God so unfair? You never ask why you did all those things last time. So nature's law is very, very impeccable, means they don't prejudice, they don't discriminate, understand or not? They are nature's law, law of karma. So you have to abide by it, otherwise you will suffer. So do strive on with heedfulness to take care of your karma so that your life is taken care of. Do not be heedless. That's why I bow it. Having goodness and kindness for you. Oh, okay. For you reap what you sow. What you do to others, karmically it will come back to you. So if you are good and kind to others, karmically others will be good and kind to you. Because these are your karmic inheritance. The absence of evil is good, so don't try to be good. But instead, just train your mind to be heedful and mindful, so that it's incapable of evil. Then naturally, you will be good. This is very profound. Do you understand? Don't try to be good. Then you will ask me, but Tio, the Buddha say, do good? No. Why you tell me not to do good? The Buddha do good is different, no? He know absence of evil is good, no? Then after knowing his teaching, then only you do good, no? Do good with understanding, no? Not do good without understanding, no? Do good without understanding is what? Good according to who? Yeah? According to you, your own views and opinion. Like you tell your children, hey, you don't know, you don't understand life. You got no direction in life. Now, mommy tell you, you must study this, you must do this. It is good for you, according to you. Actually, behind all these things that you plan for them is selfishness. Your views and opinion, if they go this way, oh, it bring honor to the family. In future, he will have a lot of money. And this is your thought projection. But what is good? Good means no evil root. No greed, no hatred, no delusion. So how can there be good when there is selfishness? When there is delusion? Do you understand? That's why cultivate mindfulness, heedfulness. Understand what constitutes evil. Then if you are incapable of evil, what else can you do? You will be good, isn't it? You are incapable of cheating people, deceiving people, lying to people. Incapable of selfishness. That's why you will be very, very different. You will allow your children to have the freedom to decide on their life. Your duty is just to advise. You take care of karma, means treat them well. Do your duty, be responsible. Then in future when you come as a kid, your parents will do the same to you. He will treat you well, give you the liberty, the freedom to live life. Then support you all the way. Because you do your duty in the past. So now you got parents who will do their duty to you. That's how you are born into that parent. Understand not? Like just now, we go through the three types of karma. So dependent retribution. Where are you born into? Depend on what you do. If you are a parent that are irresponsible, simply neglect your duty. Go and drink, go and gamble, go and womanize and do all those funny things. Neglect your children, your family, create so much suffering and misery. Yeah? Then what is your dependent retribution? When you are born in the future, you will be born into a drunkard family, a gambler and all those things doing all. And then you experience all the things that they do to you. Well, last time you do to your children and your family, you neglect them, you don't know. Then now, reverse, become the victim. When you understand karma, you will never do all these things. Never worthwhile. Get it understood. Eh? Then you will know how to live life. Then you will have no problem in life. Otherwise, when the retribution comes, don't go and complain. Why I so sweet marry this guy? Why my parent has to be like that? Everybody else's parent also so different. You never ask when you abuse people and do all these things in the past. Now, dependent retribution come, you complain. Delusion is like that. When you don't understand, you simply heedless do things heedlessly. So these are very important teaching. When you understand, you will not violate. Okay, we move on. The three types of prajna or wisdom, as explained by Master Sun Hua, are similar to the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, as explained by the Buddha under his Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon. And they are, so to the Mahayana, the first turning, proclamation of truth as spoken by the Buddha, leading to Suttamaya Panya, wisdom born of hearing the Sutta or discourse of the Buddha. But Master Sun Hua used the word prajna of language. You understand? Wisdom that arises through language spoken on. That's why Suttamaya Panya. Then the second type, the Mahayana said, prajna of contemplative illumination. Means when you contemplate and you develop the understanding, it illuminates your mind. So that is the second turning. And the Buddha taught under the three turning the same. You have to reflect, contemplate, and inquire into his proclamation. So it's the same. Then the third one is, they call it the prajna of characteristics of actuality, means seeing as they are, which is bhavana maya panya, the direct seeing. So meditative training leading to bhavana maya panya, wisdom born of the meditative training or direct seeing as taught by the Buddha. So it's the same. Okay. Maybe 7 more minutes. We just stop here. Okay? Page 39. You got any more question or not? Because we need to do the closing puja. Any more question? Yes.
I hope my question is a handful of leaves.
Okay.
Basically, like you say just now about the situation of karma. Just say if you mistreat your children, you'll be born in a mistreated family. So if you're in that cycle, how do you break away?
Okay, very good. Well, you are new. That's why you don't know. It's the correct question, this one. Handful of leaves. The Buddha taught already, he said. The moment you recognize that this is evil, this one got karmic retribution, then you will take care of karma. How do you take care of karma? Avoid all evil. Do good. Then purify your mind. That is the teaching. But there is also another part that the Buddha teach. He said, the past is already gone. You cannot change. Understand not? But you can do something about it. That's why he said, you must repent or ask for forgiveness. It's in the chanting book. You have to go back and read, where we don't have enough time. So when you ask for forgiveness and repent, the nature's law will take care of that karmic thing. Then most of the enlightened beings, almost all the enlightened beings, including the Triple Gem, they would have at all time forgiven all beings, whether from the distant past until now, knowingly or unknowingly, that have caused any karmic negativity or karmic affliction to their nature. Since beginningless time, they vow to forgive them. So the moment you request, the nature's law just cancels out. That's the reason why you have to ask for forgiveness. And the Islam teaching is very good. They do a lot of asking for forgiveness. That is a very good teaching. Especially during the, what they call, Ramadan. Not Ramadan. Puasaman. Puasaman. So during Puasaman, they will tend to forgive you. Because that is the time to repent. And it's a very good teaching. So the Buddha also teach, but he go further. He said, after you repent, means you are serious about life, then you have to determine not to repeat all this. That's why you determine to follow his advice, to avoid all evil from now onward. Then cultivate wholesomeness, goodness. Then if you want to be completely free of suffering, you have to develop the wisdom, purify your mind. Then there is another teaching that I never learned this line, but I bring it from the past cultivation. After you do these two things, you can still invoke power of merit. When you avoid all evil, do good, and follow the advice of Buddha, you accumulated a lot of merits, a lot of wholesomeness. Then you invoke the power of merits. By the power of this merit, may it arise the causes and conditions, like the Buddha teach. After the closing puja, during the closing puja, because you have received a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of merits, then he will teach you how to chant. Itmina punyang kamina, mami bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yawa nivana patiya. You know the meaning is that? Itmina punyang, by the power of this merit, may arise the causes and conditions for this nature of yours, to avoid the foolish and the heedless. Only meet up with the wise and the enlightened one, so that Nibbana can be realized soon as possible. So this is one of the ways to invoke power of merits. But my nature realized, not only for this, understand not? This is for your cultivation. Okay? But you can invoke power of merits to break karmic obstruction. Understand? Because some of the karmic obstruction are very strong, very powerful. Then sometimes that guy that is in the deluded state and going through the karmic friction and the suffering and the misery, they have got no possibility of mind to even understand anything. They are already trapped, very severely trapped in depression. No way to even talk to them or approach them. And yet this type of people can be helped. I have done it for people before. Not I do. I advise them what to do. It turned out so beautiful. One of them is a mother-in-law, helped the daughter-in-law. The other one is a sister, the accountant and all that. So they just on their behalf ask for forgiveness. Then determined to keep the precept cultivated. Then help them to do donation and all things in their name. Then after that, invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for them to break their karmic obstruction so that they can turn around their life, return the normal state of mind so that they can gain back their life. And over 3 months now, she was so amazed now, because the son was a Christian, a very staunch Christian. The son also cannot do anything. The wife was in real, very severe depression. So this mother-in-law, she almost lost her son. That's why she was go all out to find solution. Then this mother-in-law, a bit complicated. He got a cousin brother who was my university classmate. I think Mi Feng and Sui Han know him. Then one day, he also entangled with another girl from another Buddhist sect, Japanese Buddhism in China, the very famous one, Roko Ogawa, happiness, I don't know, something to do with happiness on the teaching, happy sign. I heard something, that's all. Happy signs, how to be happy. Then it seemed that monk was very popular, not monk, that lay person who started it was very popular. The fastest growing Buddhist sect in Japan. Then my classmate know that I'm very good in Dhamma. He called me out for you know what is yam cha at night, drink tea, or have a drink. Then every time we talk for many weeks, I was feeling funny, He knew me because we were in the Buddhist society together last time in MU. Then he keep on asking me. Then he passed me those books that Ogawa wrote. Then after I read, I said, no harm. The teaching is okay, except a few things not similar. Then after that, he said, you free or not? He said, I want to go to Japan. I said, when? Oh, he mentioned Sakura time. I said, free. Then he helped me to register. Because that trip, I tell you, very good. They actually subsidize on us. So I went to Japan almost, I think, 10 or 11 days. You imagine how much I spent? 10 to 11 days Japan, including air flight. I spend less than 2,000 ringgit. And stay 5-star. Equivalent to 5-star hotel. The Soja. Oh, they took us around some more. Then when I was there, the cousin sister was also there. You know. He wants to actually seek the help of that master to cure the daughter-in-law. Then I also didn't know. Then when we were there, as we were on the first day, visiting the sakura area, the park, where the sakura blossomed that time, very beautiful. Then as we walked into the park, the husband asked certain questions. Then this girl also asked. Then from the way I answer, it's so different. Then he tell the husband, you better ask some more. He said, she shy to tell me. You better ask. But the husband cannot tell the problem. Then after that, he asked me about China thing and all those things. Then I link it to the Dhamma. Then after that, he tell all my classmates. He said, how come you got such a friend you never recommend? Then my classmate said, you never ask. Then after that, she got very interested in me. She keep on approaching me. After the seminar start, the first day, half a day, he came near to me. He said, Mr. Teo, you are free or not? I said, why? He said, I got something very personal to discuss with you. Oh, can. I said, come, go. Then we went out. Then she tell me all this story about the daughter-in-law. And he asked me one very direct question. Can you help? I thought you come for the master. I said, he said, no, I trust you more. Then I said, I can help, but you have to do it yourself. Then I teach her how to do the three ways. Ask for repentance on his behalf. Then determine not to do all those things. Then make offering and donation. Then keep the precept, cultivate. That's why he came to my class after. Then to her, you call it really amazing. After that, I took a notebook and wrote everything down. That time I got no transcript, nothing. That time was 2006. Nothing came out. Then he followed exactly what I tell him. Then week after week, he keep on calling me. Wow, he said, Brother Teo, thank you so much. The response was so beautiful. Then finally, he told me, after the daughter-in-law recovered completely, without medication, nothing. He just say, thank you so much. God's miracle also don't work like that. Oh. Then after that, the best thing is, after he understood all this, when he came to the class, sometimes we say, anybody want to ask question or share, she just put out her hand. Then she started. He said, the best thing in this life is to have met Brother Teo. Then he starts to share and all those things. So all these are possible when you understand. So you can invoke power of marriage for you to overcome obstacle, karmic obstacle, recover from certain karmic obstacle, disease or whatever. Yeah. Or causes and conditions for your whatever first noble truth, reality, problem. It will get resolved, understand? Where you invoke power of marriage. You didn't interfere with nature's law. Okay, we better end. Yeah? Oh, 5 minutes. Okay, now we have to do the closing puja. We do a quick one, sharing of merits. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tam anumoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana itta wata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatu yo idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatu yo idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatu yo imina punyang kamina mame bala sama gamo Satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to all the worthy ones. Then we end. you can have your dinner.